Hello and welcome back to the Tech Stack Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Wenham, and in this sixth episode, we have a special guest, Shane Mishler, who'll be sharing his incredible journey with SD Tech and its franchising success. We'll also be touching on key factors which have impacted his journey. Welcome, Shane, and please introduce yourself.
I'm the Chief Operating Officer for SD Tech. We are a San Antonio, Texas-based MSP who provides managed services for small to medium-sized businesses. In my day-to-day, I oversee all of our daily operations and assist in taking our CEO's vision and helping that become a reality by figuring out what we're actually going to do to make it happen. I also oversee our franchise development in all aspects of rolling out our franchising process. In the grand scheme of things, we're still very early in the franchising process. A little over a year ago, we got everything nice and legal. We got our franchise disclosure document created. We have the franchising system built out, if you will, all of the processes. But over the last year, I would say the most challenging piece has been finding the right person to award a franchise opportunity to. We have met with, I want to say, probably between 60 to 70 candidates who were interested at various levels, some who were very ready to become a franchisee, and we weren't quite ready to make that step with them. You know, it just wasn't the right match. And now, a little over a year later, we have finally found our first franchisee, and we're in the process of onboarding them. This will be our second week of training. Right after this podcast, I go into hosting a full day of training for our new franchisee. So it's been a very big process, to be quite honest. Like, just a lot of different elements, and the people aspect, as you can expect. I mean, so much time goes into just hiring a employee for your company, and when you're looking for that franchisee, it's a very similar process, but a lot more at stake.
What was the main thing you were looking for in that individual?
The main thing we're looking for is actually culture fit. So very similar to what we do for our employee hiring process, just more stringent, a lot more time invested in getting to know the individual, getting to understand how they want to do business, looking to see if there's somebody who is really ready to sit down and become a strategic partner with this, or if it's somebody who maybe has a different vision of their own. So when you're entering into this, it's the idea behind it is you're entering into a 10-year agreement to do business together, and that's a long time. So it's, you know, we're being significantly more thorough in our discovery process.
Sure. Is there a different perspective from you compared to the CEO?
We definitely share the same vision. We both want to find somebody who's going to be successful, who is going to assist us in being the first individual to demonstrate whether or not our franchise process is going to be successful. So our vision is the same, but some of what we're looking at between the short term and long term, that differs a little bit. So our CEO is very focused on he's very ready to begin this process and roll it out. And I'm the one who pulls this back a little bit and says, hey, hold on, let's look at some of these cautionary flags and dig a little bit deeper. So I slow us down. He's the gas and I'm the brakes at times. Okay. And then both of us are the gas. We both like to move very quickly, but there is some give and take.
Okay. I think that sounds like a good partnership there, right? Yeah, you think through decisions well and you act quickly, which I think is exactly what you need to do. Great stuff. Actually, I've realized that we haven't really touched on what SD Tech actually do. I know you gave a little bit of information in your intro, but in a nutshell, how do you use tech in your service and products?
So our primary targets are small to medium-sized businesses. So we have, at this point, I would say about 50% of our clients are under 10 employees, and about 50% are in the neighborhood of 10 to 50 employees. Mm-hmm. So the products and services that we offer these individuals, it varies heavily based off of what they need. And it's going to range from day-to-day products and services, recommendations, consulting, assisting the business owner in spending their allotted budget in a good way to get their tech to be in a better position to support their business. So for smaller organizations, that's going to be helping them identify just what types of computers or POS systems are there to best support them and making sure they're not overspending. And for our larger clients, it's going to be managing their network, cybersecurity, and virtualization.
Okay, great. One major thing that we're seeing, I'd say across the tech space, the trading space specifically for us, is automation. And I was wondering how that's impacted your offering.
I would say one of the best ways that we've been able to utilize automation, and it's simple in practice, but getting us to this point was difficult. When I joined SD Tech three and a half years ago, all of our employees were hourly. And so that meant that there's a very heavy management side of things for getting payroll processed, right? You have to gather everybody's hours, and we're trialing different software for what we're going to use to track hours, and then actually making sure payroll is processed, you're looking for errors, and then figuring out how can we reduce those processes, and can we automate them? And if we can't automate them, can we at least eliminate some of them? And the easiest way to do that was we moved everybody to salary. Right. And it's more beneficial for the employees. It's more beneficial for the company. And now we're eliminating a lot of the managerial duties. And it's been helpful.
Sort of going on from automation, and I know this is the buzzword right now, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, GPT-4, you've seen the emergence of Bard. How do you see AI affecting your systems? I know before you may have touched on speeding up like documenting process, maybe content creation, maybe overlooking some of the, it's not legal stuff, but a lot of the admin tasks.
I just read yesterday about one of the job fields that looks like it's, I say at risk in quotes. I don't think it's really at risk, but I think we're going to see a lot of change is in the legal side of things. There's so much legalese in the legal side of things, and AI is going to be able to quickly make that more accessible to a person who doesn't have such a strong background. But you're right. Currently in our day-to-day operations, AI in its current form has just been assisting with content creation and getting documents more easily prepared. I think that where we're going to see it impact us in the tech field is getting a lot of the tedious level one type tasks for help desk more automated, making it easier for us to provide self-help to clients and to create workflows for our technicians. I think that's going to be where we see a large impact next. It's kind of taking the document creation and making that usable instead of something that you just have to read. And I know that large tech companies for over a decade now have been working on workflow programs that make it easier for entry-level technicians to understand what troubleshooting steps need to be done. And I think that AI is going to help ramp that up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. It's really intriguing, actually. How quickly do you think as a firm you'll adopt AI?
So I would say that right now, outside of the individuals that we speak with on a regular basis. So not even everybody in our firm currently uses ChatGPT on a regular basis. The vast majority of our clients have heard it in passing, but haven't began using it at all. Now I imagine you're the same, camera. We stay better connected with the community as a whole, thanks to the internet, right? Thanks to Reddit, and Discord and things like that, that really help us see what people are using ChatGPT and different forms of it for. But I don't think that as far as like a more popular adoption, I don't think we're probably still 2 to 5 years out. But for our firm, we've started using it on a daily basis in some areas, right? So for document creation, for content creation, our CEO has started using it to reduce the amount of time that he's spending replying to emails. So, just throwing in a couple of prompts to help generate an email and then spending 3 to 4 minutes going back through and making changes versus spending a half hour working on how he's going to reply to a client or a vendor. So it's small things like that that's helpful. But now we're looking at our RMM platform is starting to roll out their own ChatGPT-based troubleshooting guide, and it's not something that we're ready to release to our clients yet, but we've started doing internal testing with that, and hopefully within a year or two, maybe that's something that we'll be ready to see be utilized, make it more accessible, like some of our larger competitors have the nice little chat bots that walk you through the initial set of self-help tools. I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't want for a negative experience with our clients, but we're not scared of it. Not at all.
That's really, really good to hear. I know there's probably plenty of firms in the background working their way through or seeing how they could best integrate AI into every area of the business. If you're saving time using AI, where on a personal level would you love to invest more time to see SD Tech grow quicker?
Oh, so on a personal level, where I like to see SD Tech grow quicker is is primarily through the franchise side of things. Realistically, what I'm excited about, Cameron, is our franchising opportunity allows for people who are interested in technology or who understand that the technology sector is one of the fastest growing sectors, and so they would really like to get into it. We've created a design that allows for people who do not have a tech background to get into running an MSP. And we've done that by offloading the technical support back to our corporate office.
Sure, sure. I think that's a sign of great leadership. You are the oldest of eight. Is it eight children? You have eight siblings or seven siblings?
I am, Cameron. I'm the oldest of eight, so I have seven siblings.
So how do you think, I think this is quite an interesting take, how do you think growing up as the oldest has developed your leadership skills at all?
Not only am I the oldest of eight children, but there's a very short age gap between us. So my youngest siblings are only 12 years younger than I am. They're twins. So I know other individuals who come from large families, but for the most part, there's a significant spread age difference. Sometimes, you know, some of the individuals were already moved out of their home before their youngest siblings were born. So having eight kids with a 12-year span meant that we had a lot of different personalities growing up in our household. And there's some things that I can appreciate now, right? Now that I have the wisdom of several more decades underneath my belt versus when I was a teenager, I recognize that having had the opportunity to grow up with so many different personality types allowed me to figure out how to interact with those different personality types much more quickly, which makes it easy for me to step into a meeting. And when I'm meeting people for the first time, I'm pretty sure there's a subconscious thing that happens where I start relating this individual to one of my siblings, and I treat them like personality types, you know? So I'm like, oh, so Cameron kind of reminds me of one of my middle brothers, who I was really close with, and he seems to manage himself in similar ways. And then it just helps me build rapport quickly.
Sure.
Or more quickly. So I'd say that it's had a pretty significant impact on my leadership style.
Can you give me one example of maybe a situation where you've changed your approach based on the personality type of the person you're dealing with?
About 6 months ago, we hired an employee for our help desk. We gave an opportunity to an individual who was looking for a career change. He had been working at a collections job, so working on collecting past due accounts for this very large company for 9 years. And that was basically all he had known. But he had always had a passion for technology since he was a kid. And, you know, that's something I can absolutely appreciate. And had a good head on his shoulders. And through our interview process and during his first 60 days of working with us, he did his best to really present himself as an individual who came from a corporate background, very professional, very, I'm about the business. I like to discuss things in a very professional manner.
Sure.
And then there was a moment where I caught a glimpse of who he was on a more personal level and outside of work. And it was small. But I recognized that he had it was an old punk band sticker on his vehicle. And I noticed it one day. And when he came back to work, I asked him, and I said, hey, I noticed this sticker. I said, do you listen to other music like this? And I mentioned some old punk bands that came to mind, NoFX and Pennywise. And his eyes immediately sparkled. And he was like, you know about music? And I said, man, music is my life. And I was like, and you listen to a lot of the music that one of my middle brothers you listen to. And he was like, I didn't know that about you. And I said, I didn't know that about you. And so he quickly broke down some of his walls, and we were able to start talking about things that were personal to him. And then that helped me better understand who he was. And we were able to just totally change our approach. And it was really good. Ultimately, we both him and I decided that SD Tech wasn't a good fit for him. But we were able to get to that place quicker because we could drop some of those walls and start having more open, honest discussions.
Sure. I know you touched on it there. Is there a way that you found that you can get to that deeper level quicker?
So with clients, absolutely. So with clients, one of the ways that we figured out how to build better rapport with them is to better understand their business. And now the easiest way to better understand their business is to meet with as many employees as you can, face-to-face conversations, and ask them, what are you doing on a daily basis? What does your job responsibilities look like? You know, what do you enjoy about your day? And then once you can start talking about what you enjoy about your day, it's easier to figure out what you don't enjoy about your day, and we can determine, you know, is there something within technology that can alleviate some of that pain? But talking isn't the only way. We have a lot of tools where we can see how their computers are being utilized, right? We can see how their network's being utilized. We can identify, are they spending more time utilizing VoIP services, or are they spending more time being interconnected in their office through chats and Teams? And then so we can get to know our clients that way too.
And I guess, data with that personal relationship, when you're understanding their business and understanding them, when you're connecting with the senior level guys, that's the kind of the golden ticket, right?
Sometimes what I found, Cameron, is it's more about connecting with the people who are running your front desk or the people who are interacting with their clients most. And then if you can understand what the front desk people really need and want, then it helps you to better assist the CEOs and the C-level execs in making the right decisions that's going to help their business. And then when you come to them with an understanding of what their key employees are doing, they're more quickly to go, okay, so you really do understand what we have going on here. And that makes it feel like you're a part of their organization versus somebody from the outside who's just trying to support or sell them something.
Totally. I completely respect that. I know, I think we had a chat in the prequel about Undercover Boss.
I did.
So it essentially does the same thing, right? In terms of connecting, obviously you're not an external person, you're actually running the business, or usually it's one of the senior level managers, but actually getting to the forefront and understanding what your frontline employees are feeling, doing, saying. And actually, I completely see the value of that. Maybe that's something I've not thought about before, is actually as an external company, or let's say you could be a consultant or an agent, you have to understand kind of, you know, the face of the business.
You do.
I would ask you now, what would your advice be to someone looking to get into the tech sector or a position in which you are at now? So a senior level position in a big tech firm.
So Cameron, I would say that what's worked really well for me is finding mentors. And I'm not recommending that you go outside of your current professional network. Chances are you already have 2, 3, maybe even 4 or 5 individuals that you can lean on and leverage your current partnerships, leverage your current relationships, and look to other individuals for advice. There's so much power in relationships that goes untapped. So that's my recommendation, is look to your professional network. Begin by looking for people that you can look to as mentors, gain as much knowledge from them as you can, and then figure out how you can implement that into your own life.
I love that. Out of all the risks you've taken to grow the revenue threefold and see growth in every area of the business, which risk do you think has given you the best reward?
Taking a chance on people who may not have had the background on paper to support giving them that opportunity. One of my key employees, our director of operations, he had good experience in lower level management. So he had run some teams as a supervisor, and he had a good head on his shoulders, but his background, he didn't have, you know, a 4-year degree. He didn't have 10 plus years in high-end leadership. And we brought this employee on as a technician, and he had moved so far past the responsibilities we had given him that it was like, we're underutilizing this employee. And so I started having conversations with him, offering him larger responsibilities, and he wasn't confident. He was like, Shane, I've never had experience doing this, and I'm not positive that I'm the right person for it. And I told him, I said, well, to be quite honest, I'm not positive you're the right person for it either. But I would like to take an opportunity and give you a chance to see if can you grow into it. And if you can't, hey man, you know, that's okay. No, no harm, no foul. We learn, we see what you're capable of. And if you have some shortcomings, we determine, is it something that you want to overcome or is it too much? And after several weeks, probably months of conversation, he agreed and he stepped into some responsibilities that he didn't think that he would be ready for him for 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
And we weren't positive he would be ready for it either, but it's a risk we were willing to take, and it was an investment we were willing to make. And Cameron, it was probably one of the best decisions we've made so far. And I think that there's similar situations where you're not sure if, as a company, you're not sure if maybe you're ready to support this large client. Maybe it's a client that you've in a sector you've never supported, or maybe it's more employees than you've ever supported. And at some point you have to make a decision to kind of go all in and be ready to fail. Because if you're not ready to fail, if you're waiting until you're guaranteed to be successful, to me, that's the scariest risk.
The biggest risk is not taking the risk at all.
It really is.
It's been so good, Shane, having you on. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, some of your ups and downs, and your vision for the future of SD Tech and how tech will influence your company, as well as many hundreds of thousands of tech companies worldwide. For anyone interested in hearing more about what you've got to say or to follow your journey more closely, what's the best way for our audience to get in contact with you?
You can find me, Shane Mishler, on LinkedIn. Or you can look up SD Tech at sd-tech.net. Those are two great ways to get in touch with me, get in touch with our company, and learn a little bit more. I'm always happy to connect. I love having conversations. I enjoy meeting new people. So yeah, that'd be amazing.